Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Simply Financial Podcast. I have with me Dave Harris from Nationwide, their retirement institute. And for listeners that may not have been tuning into the show recently, this is the third of a three-part episode that I have been doing thanks to Nationwide and their retirement institute. The first episode in a three-part series was talking about tax-efficient retirement income planning. The second in the series covered Roth IRAs. And today's episode is going to cover health savings accounts, which I'm really, really excited about. This is an area, candidly, that's been a little weak for me. So I'm hoping to learn a couple of things as I talk to Dave here. So I'm super excited about the topic. I think you'll get some really good information. So listen to Dave and I talk here. Dave, thanks for joining me today.
Chris, thanks for the time and thanks for the interest.
Yeah. So let's just talk briefly. You're with the Retirement Institute. How long have you been with Nationwide and with the Institute?
So Nationwide, I started back in 1997. And for the Institute, I was one of the first members, founding members, back in actually 2007.
So listeners, especially if you checked out the series, and if you haven't, I would suggest you go back. He works with my brother, Steve. So what a treat I'll get to talk to both Steve and me this week. It must be a banner week for you.
You know what? It actually is. I enjoy talking with both of you.
So let's just start at the basics. Assume that listeners are not very familiar with health savings accounts. I'll probably, when talking, Dave, use HSA, and that's common in the marketplace to describe health savings accounts shorthand as HSA. So let's start at the beginning. What is an HSA?
HSA is an account. So health savings account, like you said, it was designed to be able to help combat the ever-increasing healthcare cost for families, for individuals. And what this account does is it allows a family, an individual, to put money away and be able to have those dollars for either a year or down the road be available for qualified medical expenses. The way I like to think of an HSA account is much like a 401k. If you think of a 401k, that's for your retirement. You're saving those dollars for a time that you're going to need those dollars down the road. When you think about an HSA, it's much the same. You're putting these dollars away in an account that you own that's in your Social Security number or under your Social Security number that's going to allow you to use these dollars down the road to cover healthcare costs when you need those dollars and be able to help you overcome those expenses that you're going to see either in a year or, like I said, down the road.
Beautiful. And so you mentioned, use the comparison or analogy with 401ks. So not everybody is eligible to put money in a 401k. You need an employer who sponsors the 401k. And if you translate that to IRAs, and last episode we talked about Roth IRAs in the series, anyone can contribute to a Roth IRA, except there are exceptions. If you make too much money, as an example, the IRS will not allow you to contribute to a Roth IRA. So can anybody contribute to an HSA, or is there eligibility we should be aware of?
There's definitely eligibility issues to some degree. And when I say issues, it's really more a matter of having a high deductible health plan. So as many employers offer a health insurance to their employees, they have high deductible health plans that are offered. And with that, more cost will come back to that employee or that employee's family. And as long as you have a health insurance plan under that high deductible health plan that qualifies, you then can be able to sign up for a health savings account, an HSA. When you compare like an HSA to a Roth IRA, the Roth IRA has the earnings limits. So if you earn too much, you can't contribute just to a Roth IRA.
Yeah.
This is different. There are no earnings limits. So if you earn quite a bit of money and would phase out of maybe something like a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA, that does not happen here. There are no phase outs. There are no earning limits. But the one thing we have to pay attention to truly is the type of healthcare plan that you are a part of. So it has to be a high deductible health plan.
So it has to be a high deductible health plan, Dave. But in the marketplace, there's healthcare that's through an employer. And then there is the ability to have an individual policy. You can be eligible for an HSA in both instances. As long as it's a high deductible plan, you could qualify or become eligible for an HSA either through a plan through work or an individual plan. Is that fair?
As long as it is qualified under a high deductible health plan.
Okay.
Yes. And let me give you an example. So the health plan limits for 2021, as long as the health plan at a minimum, as far as what you would have to pay out of pocket for an individual was say $1,400. That's the limit right now at the minimum side. That would start your qualification.
Okay.
As far as the max out of pocket for the high deductible health plan, it would be a max of $7,000 for that individual that they would have to pay out of that pocket. So if you work within those two limits, that will qualify as a high deductible health plan that will allow you to purchase an HSA, or if it's individual or if it's a corporate plan.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter either way. Now for say a family, it would be $2,800 as a minimum or $14,000 as a maximum out of pocket. So that qualifies as far as a high deductible health plan, that qualifies you to be able to purchase an HSA or create an HSA account for yourself, for your family.
Well said. So to be clear, you could have a high deductible plan that qualifies for an HSA, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you fund the HSA. So someone could have a high deductible plan, be eligible for an HSA, but for one reason or another may choose not to contribute to the HSA. Is that correct?
That's correct. Absolutely. It truly is a choice, just like a 401k. You know, when you go and you start your 401k, you have to do the paperwork. You have to start it. You have to do your allocations, and then you create that account for yourself.
All right. Beautiful. And this is an account that's owned by you. I'm thinking about those plans that are through those HSAs that are through an employer sponsored plan. If you put money in the HSA, it's your money, right? The company doesn't have a claim on it. It's yours. You mentioned it's under your social. The company has no claim on it, correct?
Chris, you're absolutely right. It is your account. Like I said, and you said right back, it is under your social security number. So what that means is it's your account while you're living. And there's also ways that you can pass that on to a surviving spouse, to other people like your beneficiaries, or it will even go through your estate.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of this, sticking with the nuts and bolts. First, though, I figure that there's some limits. I imagine you can't put unlimited amounts of money in an HSA. So what are the limits?
Unfortunately, there are limits.
Unfortunately, but not surprising.
It's just like your 401k, Chris. I mean, you can't put unlimited dollars into it. There are limits here. And so for an individual for 2021, you're looking at $3,600 for the year. Now, if that is you putting the dollars in, or you and your employer sharing, putting those dollars in, that's the limit. Now for a family, you're looking at $7,200 is what you can do, again, between yourself and also your employer.
All right, good. So we talked about the nuts and bolts. You need a high deductible plan. You could put money into an account. There's the eligibility issue related to the high deductible plan. It's not for everyone. Could be individual plan. It could be a plan through your employer, health plan through your employer. You talked about the limits, $3,600 for an individual, $7,200 for a family. Let's talk about the benefits because it has some really, really powerful advantages that make it very impactful to participate in an HSA if it's available, and maybe even structure your health insurance strategy around the type of policy that would give you eligibility for an HSA. So let's talk about first, Dave, it's your account. We already talked about that. I imagine, sticking with the 401k comparison, I imagine that there's some options as to what you put your HSAs in. Is it fair to say that you could have something very conservative like a bank account up to investments involved in stocks and bonds and that kind of stuff? You have that option. Is that right?
Chris, you're absolutely correct. What we're looking at when you're creating your account in the past. So looking, let's just go back 10 years.
Yeah.
The majority of people 10 years ago were putting the dollars just into an interest-bearing type of an account.
Okay, like a bank account.
Yeah, exactly. Like a bank account, yeah. CD, bond, something along those lines. As people and institutions really started to realize the impact that these plans could provide for people in the future, so a positive impact for someone's retirement, what started to emerge was this idea of being able to invest in mutual funds, invest in stocks, invest in bonds. And every HSA account that you would sign up for will be different. They will give you different investment options.
Okay.
If you have one through your employer and they're going to put some contribution in, one of the things that you're going to have to work within is going to be the regulations that they have for that plan. But yes, there are investment options today, 100%.
And I would imagine because HSAs are becoming more popular, people are using them more and more dollars are going into them and more dollars are accumulating in them. I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, that you'd expect over the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years and beyond, that the investment options would continue to expand given its popularity. Is that a good assessment?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
As we look at how these accounts are evolving, we're seeing more and more competition. And what we're seeing is then more and more options available.
So Dave, we talked about the nuts and bolts. Can you touch on the tax advantages? Because there are a lot of advantages to participating in an HSA. So let's talk about the tax aspects of that. Then in a little bit, I'd like to dovetail it with some retirement financial planning kind of strategies around HSAs. But talk to us about the tax benefits.
And Chris, that is one of the best attributes to this HSA type of account. It is triple tax free. So the dollars that you put in to the HSA account that you can contribute for the individual up to $3,600 for this year, 2021, for the family up to $7,200, that is all tax free. So that comes out of your taxes for the tax year 2021. The growth, no matter if it's going to be something conservative or something more aggressive, depending on your HSA and also your risk tolerance, that growth is going to be tax-free as well. When you pull the dollars out for a qualified medical expense, the dollars are coming out tax-free also. So what you have is that triple tax-free. Dollars going in, dollars growing, and dollars coming out for that qualified medical expense, all tax-free.
So this is one of the most exciting parts of an HSA, Dave, because I don't believe there's anything else in the marketplace where you get triple tax-free. Correct me if I'm wrong. So I could put money in and I get a tax deduction. I could earn money in the account and not pick that up as income. I'll get tax-deferred growth. And then when I take it out for a qualifying medical expense, and we could talk about what that means in a moment, it comes out tax-free. That is pretty nifty. I don't know why I said nifty. That's a stupid word. So I'm going to say that's pretty awesome and kind of rare. Or, I mean, is there anything else you could do triple tax-free?
There's not. It's one of a kind. And so earlier in our conversation, you said, is there a limit on how much you could put in? And I said, I wish there wasn't, basically.
Yeah,
and
I could see why.
Unfortunately, there is that exact situation, because there is nothing else triple tax free. And now one thing a lot of people don't know is that you can actually do a conversion from a 401k or other qualified investment where you have, let's just use the 401k as an example. You put the dollars in, they were tax deferred. They've grown tax deferred. Let's use this year as an example. If you had a family, so the $7,200 that you could contribute, you could actually do a one-time conversion from a qualified plan like that 401k and fund your entire year for the HSA. Now, you cannot contribute, the employer cannot contribute, but you can do that one-time conversion from a qualified plan like a 401k over into your HSA account.
And that one time is up to the maximum. So it would be perhaps $7,200. It's not on top of the maximum, correct?
Correct. That's exactly okay. It. And one of the things we're seeing people do right now is wait as close as they can to getting to the time that they're looking to retire to do that conversion.
Okay.
There is no tax implication at all.
All right. So before we talk a little bit about the planning and strategy aspects of that some more, let's cover qualifying medical expenses. That might sound at first glance kind of scary, but I think it's pretty broad. So what's a qualifying medical expense? And this is, again, listeners, if you're taking money out of an HSA and you want to get that last of the three tax-free aspects of the triple tax-free, the money's got to come out for qualifying medical expense. You're using it for medical expenses. Tell me about what qualifies.
You're right. It can sound a little daunting, but for the most part, just about everything does qualify. If you go to the doctor because you're sick, you want to get well, that qualifies. If you have to go to the hospital and have a procedure done, that qualifies. If you need to go and take an ambulance to the hospital for an accident, that qualifies. If you need medication, that qualifies. If things like paying for a lot of your Medicare, not everything with Medicare, but just about everything with Medicare, that qualifies, including things like long-term care. So if you think about long-term care as we age, as maybe having somebody come to the house every once in a while to take care of us, or if we have to go to a facility, that can qualify. Even for people that are looking to buy at this point in time, it's only a full policy. It's not a use it or lose it type of long-term care policy, but one of the traditional type of you pay in and you use whatever you can type of long-term care policy. You can even pay premiums based out of your or off of your HSA account.
Right.
So if you think about just about everything possible, it can be done. Now, a couple of things that people would need to be concerned about with Medicare, at least the original Medicare, hearing, vision, and dental are covered. There are some things that are not covered as well.
Yeah, but it sounds like the exceptions are much more slight than the general what qualifies. So let me ask you just to delve into it a little bit more. What if you do elective surgery? That's okay?
That does not qualify as long in most situations, but I have to put a little asterisk there because if it's elective that is correcting something else, where we've had people that have had conditions where cancer has been a factor.
Okay.
It may seem elective because it may be cosmetic.
Right.
That in some cases could qualify.
Okay.
Even though it sounds like it's elective, it may or may not. So that's where we have to do a little bit more research.
All right, good. So, I mean, I think listeners and my takeaway is it's very broad. In other words, if you participate in HSA and you want to take the money out tax-free, there's ample opportunity in most people's lives that you're going to have expenses that'll fall under the qualification. And we could probably delve into the rabbit hole of the exceptions, but I heard what I wanted to hear, which is great, great news, very powerful stuff. Now, because it's triple tax free, and even though it's designed, Dave, specifically for health savings accounts, it starts to dovetail into retirement planning and financial planning because this triple tax free is such a powerful tool. I think you touched on one technique that could be used, that being the one-time 401k conversion. But can you also talk about some other strategies that the Nationwide Retirement Institute sees in the marketplace that might be advantageous for some people? Keeping in mind, we're not giving out individual advice, listeners. We're just talking from an educational, conceptual standpoint. But can you talk about, Dave, some usages of this in the context of retirement and financial planning?
Absolutely. And I encourage everyone that's listening to this podcast to go back and listen to the one that you did with your brother on tax-efficient retirement income, and also the one that Doug did on our team with Roth IRAs.
I agree.
When you look at HSA accounts, you can use them like people have used flexible spending accounts or in the past. So flexible spending accounts, you would have a time limit on how long you would be able to spend that money. You'd have the money come out tax-free. It would be available for you for a qualified medical expense tax-free. So that had a time limit. You could use it that way. And unfortunately, many people do. But if you look at the difference between flexible spending account and what we're talking about here, health savings account, they are two very different things. One is meant to be spent. One is meant to be saved as much as you can. And if you think about this, you could go into a situation every year where you could put the money aside. It's put in tax-free. You use it like the flexible spending account and you rinse and repeat and do it again next year. Or if you could find a way to cover your healthcare costs that are qualified that you could use the HSA for on your own. If you have enough in your checking, savings or other investments that are liquid that you could actually cover those costs, then you can allow this to do what it's actually meant to do, and that's be a savings account and grow over time. It could grow over your entire career from this point going forward. And what that means is that if you think about going back to what Steve talked about in our tax-efficient retirement income, he talked a lot about this whole idea of asset location. Now, we all know asset allocation. For the most part, we understand that we are going to have money spread out and our investments spread across different investments. We're talking about investment types. So when we're talking about different types of accounts, we're talking about the different taxable ramifications that come along with that. You and I just talked about the fact that this is triple tax-free, dollars going in, dollars growing, dollars coming out for that qualified medical expense. As we think about the power of that down the road, when do you think you're going to have the highest healthcare cost? Is it going to be in your early years?
You know, nobody knows what the future holds, but statistically, playing the odds, it's likely to happen later in life as opposed to during your working years. So you're probably looking, you know, you're more likely to have healthcare costs from 65 to 75 than 55 to 65, and 75 to 85 is a greater likelihood than 65 to 75. Individual experiences might be different, but 100%. Generally, that's what you're going to find.
You're absolutely right. And if we can treat these the way they were designed to be utilized, is as a savings account. Now we have an investment that we can use as needed. And Chris, to your point, you never know what you're going to run into. I have two children, both play sports, both are out there. You never know what kind of cost you're going to have year over year. And if you need to use the health savings account to help with that, that's fine.
Okay. But
if you can save it, it can be much more meaningful down the road.
All right. So let me just follow this. Because it's triple tax-free, it's advantageous to leave the money in account, let it grow and use it later when you're likely to have larger healthcare bills. So I get that. Plus, I could put it in tax-free, have it build up without taxes. Why would I not want that buildup to last a while? Sounds pretty powerful. Now, if I have a bill, let's say a $500 deductible, I could opt not to tap into my HSA to cover that $500 bill and just pay out of cash flow, investments, whatever, and leave the HSA intact. That's kind of what you're suggesting is a good strategy to consider, at least in some circumstances, right?
Absolutely. If someone's situation allows that to be the case, 100%. And there's some other reasons to do that as well.
So what happens to that $500 bill? What happens to that $500 bill that I chose to just use cash flow to pay for? What happens to that $500 bill? Is that now gone in terms of in relation to the HSA?
It is not, at least as it stands today. So if you think about it, you've now taken the $500 out of your pocket, your own investments, checking, right, savings, whatever. You've paid that bill, but it was a qualified medical expense.
Right.
What many people are doing is they are doing exactly what we had talked about, but they save that receipt for that $500. Because what they can do down the road is use that $500, I'm going to call it a credit, because now you have paid dollars out of a non-HSA account to cover a health, qualified health expense. Now you have $500 at this point in time. Things could change in the future, but you have $500 now that you could use down the road for something else. Maybe it's not a qualified medical expense, but you're using that $500 deductible expense that you paid on your own to offset that the amount that you're going to take out of your HSA, that $500.
So this is great. This is great. I mean, amazingly great. So using that $500, I choose to pay the $500 out of pocket. I keep my HSA intact. Fast forward 5, 10, 15, 20 years, assuming the rules don't change. At some point in time, I sort of deferred the qualified medical expense distribution. And so let's say 20 years from now, I could take $500 out of my HSA tax-free, matching it up against the expense from 20 years ago, and I'm good to go. Is that right?
That's correct.
And awesome about this, listeners, is if that $500 was able to get a good rate of return in the HSA, that $500 may have grown to, I'm making up a number, just making it up, might have grown to $2,000. Now I take the $500, that means I have $1,500 more in my triple tax-free HSA, and I could use that $1,500 for either other expenses that I deferred the qualified medical expense distribution from, or maybe in 20 years, I'll have medications or a need for a home health care or surgeries, out-of-pocket expenses, whatever. But in that dopey little example, I have another $1,500 of wealth, and that $1,500 I could access probably tax-free. That is really, really powerful.
You nailed it, Chris. That's exactly it.
Good, good. So I want to thank you, and I've done this on each of the three episodes in this series, not to be repetitive, but I'm so thankful that Nationwide has helped me on this series and the Retirement Institute, of which my brother is a part of. I'm very appreciative in the time that you and your associates have spent with me. We're going to be doing, actually, this has been so successful, Dave. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're going to be doing a second series that's going to cover some other topics, including women in retirement and Social Security. And we have some other stuff on the drawing board. I think that's going to be great too. So thank you to you personally, as well as to your whole team.
Chris, thank you again for the interest.
Beautiful. So listeners, please subscribe to this podcast, the Simply Financial Podcast, if you haven't done so already. You could actually check out my team and I, the work we do at our website, ElliottWealth.com. And I will be back with you on the next episode of the Simply Financial Podcast very soon. Thanks again for listening today.
The views expressed are not necessarily the opinion of Sage Point Financial Incorporated and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities mentioned herein. Investing is subject to risks, including loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations can vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Please note, the information being provided is strictly as a courtesy. When you link to any of the websites provided here, you are leaving this website. We make no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information provided at these websites, nor is the company liable for any direct or indirect technical or system issues or any consequences arising out of your access to your use of third-party technologies, websites, information, and programs made available through this website. When you access one of these websites, you are leaving our website and assume total responsibility and risk for your use of the websites you are linking to. Securities and advisory services are offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, insurance services offered through Elliott Wealth Management, LLC, not affiliated with Sage Point Financial.